You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're never ready. You know you're not ever ready.
Dude, I called an hour early. I was ready, but you're right. I'm. You know what? I'm on time, but I'm never ready. Actually, you're correct.
Welcome to the NFL Player Second Acts podcast. I'm Peanut Tillman, and I got my guy, Roman. I am never on time or have my stuff ready, Harper, with me today as my co-host. What's up, boss?
What's up, my boy? And you know what? I was on time. I just didn't have my stuff. So you're kind of right. I mean,
you did. There's a couple things you got to, you know, get right there. Would you a charger? Not the charger, the USB
microphone. It was a microphone.
Yeah. You got to get that. But whatever the case, we gonna get you set up. Today we got a special guest. He's a former teammate of mine, a former Irishman. We got Daryl DC Campbell joining us today on the show. DC, what's up, baby? How you doing?
What's up, Peanut Man? Appreciate you, Rome, man. Love to be on the show, man. You guys are funny as all get out. Love it to death. Love the banner you guys have, and just glad to be on. Man, journey, right? That's pretty much what it's all about. Notre Dame to Chicago, with you. Watching you run around, peanut punching the hell out of everybody, which is great. And then to the Browns for a season under Romeo Crennel, won 4 games, and that was just horrible. That was just horrible. And then to Tampa for a couple seasons under Gruden, and then starting my trek with the Arena Football League with the Orlando Predators for a season. About halfway through there, Baltimore picked me up, so I got to put my hand in the dirt again, release. I want to say after a couple games, and then to Canada, where I think right before this we were talking about my Kimbo slice affinity, right.
How long was the Canada?
One season, won a great cup with Mark Trestman was the head coach there. It was pretty good, pretty awesome. Different ball out there.
Not Toronto, the
Montreal.
Montreal
Montreal, okay. Yeah.
Yep. Play Calgary in the Grey Cup and won. And I tell you what, those Montreal days were pretty cool. I think you gotta get used to that French Canadian speech though. That's something else.
Yes.
And they encourage
you to try and speak French, right? Like the more you speak.
Oh yeah. If you're coming from below the border and you're trying to just roll with English, that's just not gonna work. You're not gonna get a sandwich when you try to go to a pub, you ain't gonna get nothing. They ain't gonna work with you. You just need to know a little bit.
Did you get it?
I got a little bit, you know what I mean? A lot of the trainers that was part of their staff kind of helped me out. But I think that the one thing is you just got to be honest, man. You got to know your lane. And as long as you're honest, people will work with you. If you try to do something and they know you can't, you're like, listen, you need to stop that. Just don't even go there. You know what I mean? But yeah, as long as you're honest, you stay in your lane, people will work with you. You know?
When was you in Montreal, Rome?
So I went there for Kai, you know, Kai Hebert.
Oh, yeah.
Teammate. He got married in Montreal. He was there for a very long time. So that was one of my trips to Montreal. And it's funny. So I took French in high school. And so I pick up the little things. I know how to read it. I know how to say the little things. You know, je m'appelle Roman. Mm-hmm. You talk a little bit here and there. You attempt. But like he's saying, though, like being a brother from below the border and you come up there, like you must attempt to speak French.
If you do
not, they will not be happy with you. Because Montreal is one of those like hard French Canadian lines. Like that's where it is. And they want you to speak French there. They don't want you to be speaking English in Montreal. So especially certain parts of it. So it was really cool to experience that. And hearing, you know, doing some research on DC, man, and hearing his adventures about in Montreal, which to me, I think we really need to jump into that. It's a lot more to unpack in your one season in Montreal under Coach Tressman. Everything that you got to do and experience there, I listened to you on another podcast talk about, you know, how the videographer guys, like they didn't speak English and all of a sudden they quit halfway through the season. Yeah. And now you step in and they didn't even know you could do this. They were like, hey, you know, well, you were already doing some IT stuff once you got off of work. And you're like, hey, maybe I could, you know, fill in this void for you. They're like, nah, you just focus on football. And it's like, okay, go ahead, fail. And then eventually they came back to you.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is when you have disgruntled employees, especially in that whole IT videography world, it's just not a good look for the team. So, right. You know, I kind of figured it like this. Well, I'm going to be watching film anyway, just as all the other, you know, my teammates will. Like, you know, hey, man, slide me a few extra Canadians so I can get this done for us and then, you know, make some highlight clips on the way. I mean, it's really just applying yourself, man, trying to make an extra buck and, you know, making sure that everybody else is, you know, comes along with you with respect to that. So
but were you really making an extra buck, though?
Yeah, I mean,
it was like unpaid and stuff, right? You was just doing it just to do it to kind of help everybody else out.
Well, yeah, I mean, to start. But then after a while, like it just, you know. You got to slide you a little bit of extra something, you know what I mean? Because it's just the time, man. You know, Peanut. Like if you study in tape and like you're like, all right, man. Like I'm trying to study my opponent here, but at the same time, I got to get this ready for like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like the time spent value received. That this just got has to line up. So and they did slide me a few extra dollars, which was cool. But a lot of it was really fun though.
When did y'all get started? I know because you had trust when I had trust when he was here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. What time would you guys start your day?
The schedule is a little bit similar to like NFL ball. You're up there early. You eat in the morning. You kind of go through your walkthroughs throughout the day, and then you go and you have your practice. It's just it finishes a lot sooner than NFL ball does.
So he tried that BS with us, but it didn't work. So yeah, Rome. It was not.
Hold on. What did he try with you guys?
He tried the same type of thing.
So you know how you do one on ones the whole time, right? You know how you do walkthrough, and then you have like scout one, scout two, scout team, whatever. Mm-hmm. We would do scout team, but it was a walking scout team.
Mm.
So you never saw the plays from the offense full speed. It was at a walkthrough pace. And I remember Lance and I were like, hey, can we get these plays a little bit faster? Because come Sunday, they're going to be running this go route. They're going to be running this smash or this high low. Like, they're going to do it fast. Like, I can defend this all day. I'm an all pro in a walkthrough, but I need to see this faster. But we literally would practice full speed ones on one. So it was a training camp practice every single day. Mm. It was just our offense, number one offense versus number one defense. I couldn't tell you how many times I knew our own offenses, our offensive plays, because we went against them every team period, every single day. It didn't work out. I mean, it's cool in Canada, you know, AFL, you know, Canadian CFL, excuse me, but it just, how we did things, nah, man, it didn't really work out for us. When did you know, like, it was time to be done? I know you're making edits, you're doing all these film, but when did you know it was time to be done? Like, you know what? I think I've got my last sack. It's time to hang these cleats up.
So once I was done with Canada, and after that first season, came back to the States, and I was just kind of mulling around for a while. Like, my wife was, you know, an investment banker with Citibank. She had just transferred from Chase in Chicago. We're in Philly. We had no family here, you know, in PA. And my son was on, so I was a stay at home dad. And, you know, my wife came home one day and she was like, listen, you know, like, this is all great for you to be, you know, with your son, with your boy. Look, I love it. I love the fact that you are embracing fatherhood. But, you know, she said, like, hey, you know what? There's more to you than this. You know, right. there's more to you than this. Maybe reach out to your coaches. Maybe, you know, ask around. Maybe you can get into coaching. Maybe that's like your next deal. So I reached out to Tressman, and he was still with Montreal. I said, listen, you know, based upon the skill set that, you know, I've showed out in Canada, do you know anybody in the industry? You have any friends, any connections? I'm just looking for the next step here. He said, I have a friend at NFL Films. His name is Greg Cosell. He's the executive producer for ESPN NFL Matchup. I can't promise you anything. I talked to him, go over there to Mount Laurel, NFL Films headquarters, and, you know, have a conversation. Be yourself. Probably shave the Afro Kimbo Slice thing before you do that. That would be good. I was like, sure. I ended up showing up at NFL Films, suited and booted. I was in the lower level atrium and waiting for Kara. Then Angelucci, now Rogers, who is kind of like the production coordinator here at NFL Films in the producer department. She was upstairs. First person I meet was Steve Sable. He comes through the double doors to the lower level cafe. And he's like, hey, are you waiting for someone? I was like, yeah, I'm here to meet with Greg Cosell. He's like, we'll get up there sooner or later, but let me take you on a tour. But I'm like, but Kara's coming to take me. But don't worry about it. She'll catch up.
Did you know that was Steve, though? Did you know?
I did. That is, you can't even, I'm like, whatever he wants me to do, I'm about to do. So, I mean, he took me everywhere. He told me about all the artwork that he himself created that's littered all over the walls here at NFL Films. It's pretty amazing. Took me to the studio. My audio department, they had like they have an orchestra here, their own orchestra here. It's crazy.
For like background music, like all that.
Oh, yeah. They compose their own music here. So took me on a full-fledged tour of NFL Films facilities, outside, inside, the whole nine. I end up in the office with Greg Cosell, and he's literally just picking my brain on tape, all 22 tape. That's all this man does all day, every day, 5 a.m. to 7-8 p.m. at night. He is all 22, tricked out. That's his deal. Picks my brain about football knowledge, you know, defensive line knowledge. I met Pat Kelleher and Ross Kettover here. They are the twin-headed dragon here at NFL Films now, the new Steve and Ed Sable, if you will, since their passing. It was just natural, man. It was almost like I found my new team. And you guys know how that is. Once you're done playing ball, you just searching for that next locker room experience to kind of like, you know, grandfathers you in. So,
but when you said he was picking your brain about tape, like, what does that even mean? Like, I get picking your brain about football. Like, what does D line do? What's quarterback do? I get that, but how do you pick someone's brain about like tape? What does that even look like?
Literally, feet kicked up on the desk, big monitor on his wall, all 22 rolling. Hey, tell me about this this smash concept over here. Hey, tell me about, you know, cover three boundary lock that's going on down here. Hey, tell me about, you know, the inside blitz. And I'm sitting here looking at this man like, no, he knows ball. He's just in the office. Like, like, he knows ball. He's just – and the crazy thing is, like, he never played football, but he's just a, like a student of the game. It's like an intellectual exercise for this man.
Right.
Like, every – the fact that he had, you know, he had a wealth of football knowledge and he was speaking my language, I, you know, I appreciated that. And I kind of feel like, yeah, I think I can do this. This is where I need to be.
So did he hire you on the spot?
Have you ever met?
No, they didn't hire me on the Like they waited about a week or so and then they called me in to get an internship opportunity. So that first year came in, learned behind a guy by the name of Nick Kehoe, who was the graphics producer for NFL Matchup. Picked his brain every single day until the following season when they hired me on as a seasonal. And I took over the reins for him and Matchup for like 3 years before they made me full time.
Got you. So when you finally got the job, though, how was it going from professional athlete to an unpaid intern? How was that transition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, not making no money is not really fun. But at the same time, it's the learning experience. You know, I kind of think you got to put in sweat equity. You know what I mean? You got to put it in terms like that. So I was learning. And while I was in here, it was just a matter of the curiosity. Just like All 22 is an intellectual exercise for Greg. It's just like, you know, when you're a player and you go to a new team, you got to learn the ropes. You got to learn the plays. You got to learn the ins and outs of the defense so that you can find where it is you're best suited and how it is you can, you know, activate forward. So, you know, for me, I was like, well, you know what? You know, I'm a computer science, you know, software programming engineering guy. Let me go talk to people I know that speak my same language in this world. Let me go to the engineering side, talk to them. They show me how things, the back end and the front end works within the realm of tape masters and LTO and like how the offline side of the building communicates with the online side of the building, which none of the producers really know that, nor do they care. But to me, that's where I kind of found my niche. And, and also, too, it goes a long way treating people how they deserve to be treated, from low level groundskeeper to VP of the organization. I just kind of kept that mindset as well. And there was nothing that I couldn't ask anyone. I could go into anyone's room, office, meeting, you know what I mean? And they were just welcoming. And willing to give me as much knowledge as, you know, I craved. So, you know, I used that, applied that, and, you know, three Emmys and a couple promotions later, here I am.
Ooh, no, he stuck that one in there, three Emmys.
Yeah, I got a few of them.
So it really is a team game, though, right?
Like, without question,
taking the team from playing football, you know, the D-line, defense, whatever, and then you transition that kind of in this new profession, this new transition in broadcasting, right? Or, excuse me, production.
I've gone to a couple broadcast boot camps, and I don't really talk about, like, the on-camera, you know, thing for talent. I'm always there to just let people know and let players know, like, hey, there's another side of this thing that where you can really add in amazing ways, which is the back end. Being an editor, being a graphics producer, you know, being a director, that, like, there's so much application based upon our careers that we can add into that. That's so different than just a normal producer whose lane has always been film their whole life. You know,
we talked
I mean?
About that the other day, though, Ron. We talked about that last night, though, about just, you know, some for the kids who never make it to the NFL and they think their life is over. It's like, oh, I didn't make it to the league. But you can still do or have a job around football that keeps you connected to the game.
Absolutely.
A producer, a scout, a coach, a director, like you said. So, yeah, I think that's
it's so many more ways to be a part of the game without actually being on the field, tackling and playing the game. And I don't think as young people, especially as African Americans, like, we only see the only way to get there. We got to be the guy. We got to be the man. We don't actually talk and encourage enough of our young people in this world, especially in America, that, I mean, you can still do other things to involve yourself, whether it's being a cameraman, working the chains, being in upstairs involved with different organizations. I think that's so cool and so true. I don't think we talk enough about that. My question for you, DC, is like, and we all struggle with this. How do you change that perception of everybody else that I'm more than just the athlete, or I'm just the athlete in this space?
I think the way that's worked for me has been basically sticking to my truth, which is, you know, embracing the fact that I'm an athlete and that I am set apart in that way. You know, my eyes over the course of my career have been my lens. If we talk about production, you know what I mean? But I've seen a lot of stories. I have, you know, a knowledge base and a skill set that's applicable in this field in a much different way than someone, again, like we said before, who's never played the game and who's only been about film and understands the nuance therein. So, you know, for the Peanut Tillmans, for the Roman Harpers of the world, you guys are so unique because you guys have seen the game in such a way that no producer on this side of the fence has ever seen it. Like, right. you have been using your lenses and capturing footage, you know, with your retinas for years, you know, at a high level.
Yeah,
bringing that to this side, like, minds will be blown. Like, you have no idea, you know. So that's how it worked for me. And I think for any, you know, player that is done with the game to understand and know that, you know, hey, it's not over. You can just take everything that you have experienced, hands-on experience, hand in the dirt, or, you know, backpedaling into the backfield, and bring that to this side of the fence. So
I'm jealous that you got Emmys. You got 3 Emmys. I want an Emmy.
Listen, I promise you, you keep doing this, man, you're gonna be just like Nate Burleson. You have some Emmys too.
you got 3 of them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are your Emmys in?
Best sports serialized documentaries, 2 of them for Hard Knocks, 1 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 1 for the Houston Texans, and then our NFL 100 production, I think, well, during that season, few years ago. Like myself, however many producers there are, we have, I don't know, something like 20-some-odd, 30 producers in-house that cut that, basically taking like 700-800 hours of footage and dwindling it down to the best hour of television each training camp for whatever Hard Knocks, you know, team we're focusing on.
Is that how much it is? 7 bucks.
That's how much?
Yeah, we basically, like, when everybody's at home and that Tuesday night and they're watching that best 1 hour, yeah, on Monday, it started out as like 750 hours of footage.
But do you have to watch? So y'all divide it all up. Like, if you, it's 20 of us, we got 700 hours of film. How much film do I get? How much film do you get? How much film does Rome get?
So, I mean, so it's not even, it's like all hands on deck, you know? And what do you also think? You got your 20 head producers, you know, or 25, however many it is, you have your 20 head producers, but you have assistants, production assistants. They're all helping the log footage to, one, you know what it is that you're looking at, right?
Right.
And then you get those sub clips and you can put that into the best 1 hour story starting from that 750. And that happens 7 days a week for 7 straight weeks. So like this, it's almost like a training camp experience here,
yeah,
on the edit, on the production side, just to get to the best 1 hour for, you know, public consumption at home.
And it's all about, are you guys trying to tell a specific story, or do you kind of just like, well, wherever this journey kind of takes us, we just...
That's the thing. It's like, we don't...
Has the story ever changed from week 1 to week 2 in a training camp? You're like, dude, we didn't even know we had this. Now we got to really give more of this.
Well, here's the thing. It's just like this past, you know, someone we did with, you know, Detroit Lions. So like my first few weeks, I had Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn, Brad Holmes, right? Those are my characters, right? So, hey, DC, yeah, you're assigned to these guys. Cut whatever it is that you think is best. Now, we have production meetings every day, like, and we talk about notes. We talk about different things that everyone saw. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me write this down. That was on this tape. Oh, this assistant saw this. While I was logging, saw this. And then you put your best stories together for those characters, and it's all comprised into that best hour, you know, for Joe fan at home.
The best case scenario of just showcasing coaches, Dan Campbell has a huge personality. Ugh. My former teammate in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was awesome. And he coached there in New Orleans the last couple of years before he got this Detroit job. AG was a former teammate of mine. He has a great personality. To hear him and Deuce Staley going back and forth, I'm like, dude, they're going, each one of these guys will get a new coaching job off this Hard Knocks. It was like the best job interview that you could ever do. And I was so appreciative of it because everybody has this negative opinion about Detroit. And after you watch two episodes, you're like, man, I love this coaching staff.
Oh, yeah.
A unique case of all these former players that are now on the staff. I thought it was amazing that you guys were able to pull this off. And the way you showcased it and packaged it was beautifully done.
I got to ask you a question, Rome. Is Dan Campbell really like that? In real life, is he really like that? Like, I just got to ask you because that man was, first off, he's swole as all, man.
He is. He's swole. Just,
he can't even. He is, oh, my God.
No neck.
None. No, it's all connected. It's one.
No neck.
It's one piece, you know.
He is. It's like why? Why, bro? He is. So, number one, he kind of is like that, man. He's kind of a meathead that has learned to be able to manage a game. When he got the interim job in Miami, he did a great job of really turning them around. Then he came back to us and continued to coach. And I think because he's been around so many great coaches in his past that he has learned what it takes on that side of it. But he, deep down, he is a meathead. Like, and I don't think that changed his personality. Coach. I think everybody understands it, respects it. And he's just like, I mean, he's kind of going to just be this meathead of a head coach. And he's willing to lift weights or, like he says, bite ankles or whatever else. I think he really truly believes those things when he says it. I don't think he's like just saying it to get attention. I think that's who he is.
We're on the street.
They're in the division. I don't want to see him win, but after watching Hard Knocks, I will proudly admit this. I want to see him do well.
The heartbreak on some of these guys is awful. It's really, really tough, man. And that may be something you can talk about, DC, is maybe some of the benefits of Pops is from your journey, you know, going from team to team. From league to league, what is that? Has that had any kind of impact in your current journey now that you're on?
I think even when I take like NFL films into, you know, and when I put it into perspective, there's highs and lows in everything, fellas. I mean, you know that. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to me being a journeyman, just kind of, you know, living out of a bag for the majority of my career. You know, after you get let go a couple times, and I'm a faith-based man. It got to the point where I was like, you know what, wherever God wants me, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And when I settle in and I find, you know, that team that, like, you know, I'm there for the long haul, you know, the door won't be, you know, shut in my face, or I won't be closed. You know, I'll be there forever and always. So.
All right, but Jake, we're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we got some quick hitter questions for you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we want to welcome you guys back. Me, my co-host Peanut Tillman, or some people call him Charles, but I don't know many people that call him that. Peanut Tillman on the other side, and our guest for the day, Daryl Campbell, a.k.a. DC. DC, man, we got some quick hitters for you. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. All right, number one, I want to know your favorite moment of your playing career.
Favorite moment. 2004-2005, I'm in the middle of a game. I can't recall who we're playing, but I got Lance Brigg, I got Hunter Hillenmeyer, and I got Brian Urlacher behind me. And uh-huh. I totally forget a play. Totally.
This is your favorite.
Brain gone, out the window, looking back. All I know is B-Lack come up to me and say, listen, big dog, don't worry, I'll make you right. That's it. Favorite play ever.
True leadership.
True leadership.
Boy said, I forgot to play.
Look back, like, hey, what's the play?
Don't worry about it, dog. I got you. Just do what you want.
But, yeah, that's confidence. I got it. So if you weren't a producer, here's mine. If you weren't a producer, what other career or profession would you be doing right now?
I would be an IT professional. I would have a small cubicle, almost prairie dog style, popping up from it. And I would probably be doing either building laptops or doing some type of NSA or SDP, building apps. That would probably be the career that I would choose.
Who is on your personal Mount Rushmore of people who have helped you be successful in life as a whole? You only get four, remember, because we don't all know how many people.
He might not know how many on Mount Rushmore, so that's why I'm showing you four.
So I start off with my mom. She would be the number one, because I watched that woman, you know, work her tail off when my dad left when I was three, to provide, you know, a roof and over my head and make sure I went to college. And, you know, she was the one that put in like 200 watt light bulbs so I didn't fall asleep after football practice and not want to do my homework. You know what I mean? She was always there. So mom's number one. My number two, I would say, honestly, I'd say my number two would be a compendium of all of the players I had a chance to play with. The Tommy Harris's in Chicago, who just watching him, body control, just an absolute beast. Tank Johnson's, you Peanut, you know, how hard you work. And people don't realize how, you know, I can't curse on this podcast, how effing hard you work your whole career, man. It's real. I've said this before in other meetings we've been on too. Like, I look up to you, man. The Orpheus Roys of the world, the Chris Hovans, the Kevin Carters, every great player that poured into me along my journey to just, you know, do the very best I possibly can. So that might be several, but I'll just package them into one. I think my third would be, you know, being able to come here and apply knowledge learned from guys like, you know, Greg Cosell. I'd say Greg Cosell was a really big help, because it's one thing to be a player, like a defensive lineman, you know, understanding the full breadth of work as it pertains to putting my hand in the dirt is one thing. But, you know, if I'm honest, his knowledge base was about the game in its entirety. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me like what was a smash concept, or, you know, fire X blitz, and how linebackers had, I would have no idea. I just know that right here, I got this B gap, I got to jet it, and I got to make some plays. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we're talking like boundary cover three lock, or cover three in general, and all the, like, you know, quarters coverage, quarter half, all that type of stuff, that wasn't in my playbook. No way. But to actually learn about the nuance of the game in its entirety, offense and defense, and to learn it from somebody like that, It actually gives me a newfound appreciation for all the guys I used to play with too. Like the stuff that y'all had to do in the back. That's crazy. It's just ridiculous. Just, I don't even know how, but that's why y'all do what y'all do, and y'all as great as y'all are. And then I'd say, you know, not that this should be last, but, you know, being a faith-based man, it's always first, but it's one of them, you know, just my faith in God and just trusting, you know, the process, embracing, you know, every up and not so up, because all of the adversity faced led me to this podcast and to you guys. So I think God has really been a blessing over the course of my life and my career.
Most definitely. Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. I think we all said mom was in mine. Mom was in yours. Oof. I think John Runyon, he said his mom was in his. I got one for you. Fill in the blank. My life right now is
a blessing. It's a blessing. I say that because, you know, there's a point in, I'd say, 2015, 2016, where, and again, it might be a little bit personal, too much for this, I don't know, but I had a perianal abscess, and my heart stopped a couple times. Mm-hmm. You never know why things happen, right? But I can tell you one thing, that like when you're on a hospital table and you got doctors surrounding you saying, hey, listen, you know, you might want to talk to your son and your wife, because, you know, if this procedure doesn't go well, you know, say your goodbyes type deal. And to still be here and to, again, like I say, be talking to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, life is a blessing, man. I'm on the right side of ground every day. And I don't take anything for granted.
Right. That's, yeah. DC, I'm, man, glad you're here. That's deep.
That's great, man. That whenever you get to talk to people that actually appreciate the space that they're in every day, you know, that really goes a long way, and really pouring into others. And, you know, we can pick up so much just by speaking to you, just by engaging with you. Somebody that's thankful, appreciative of just being where they are, their feet where they are, and actually having the opportunities right in front of them, man, that really goes a long way. So I appreciate you joining us, and, you know, really just blessing us with your presence and your experience, your life journeys, all those other things, man. Really cool. Also, giving all the DBs some love too, because me and Peanut got to know, the further you are away from the ball, man, the smarter you got to be. I don't think people realize that. You got to be able to figure stuff out and connect the dots, because when you're close to the ball, you don't have to know everything. Like you said, like, dude, I've just got this gap, bro. I'm good. Listen, away from the ball, you got to know everything. It's a lot of things you got to be able to figure out.
Trying to tell you, you guys are the smartest. Like, safeties, corners, man, y'all the smartest dudes on the field, man.
I think safeties are the smartest ones on the field, in my opinion. I would say safeties. I think safeties are the smartest players on the field. I think corners are the most athletic players on the field.
Yeah,
I get that.
I would definitely agree with that. Peanut's one of the smartest corners I ever knew, because he actually wanted to know what other people wanted to do in the defense. Most corners I played with, like, bro, what I got? Like, they don't even want to waste all that time learning everything else that a safety has to learn. So it's a thought game. It's definitely a process.
Chess.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get us up out of here, man. Appreciate it. Hey, thank you all the listeners that tuned in today. I would ask you to continue to spread the word about our podcast. Give us a rating, hit a review, and a follow. Wherever you get your podcast at, please tune in and do that for us. And hey, tell a friend.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.